Podcasts.
With us today is Jeannie Annan Lewin, creative director of Perfect Magazine, which was launched this March. With its 464 pages and more than 3 kilograms, issue zero surely looks as ambitious as its name. Issue one was just released this fall, again featuring more than 400 pages. Jeannie, did you create the Perfect Magazine?
I'd like to think we did, but you know, it depends on what your idea of what perfect is. So to me, perfect is imperfect. It's all the bumps and bruises that we have and just embracing some individuality, I guess.
Can you describe what exactly your role is when it comes to making the magazine as a creative director?
Sure. I am a stylist by trade, and it's a new role. The creative director role that I'm doing is now a new role. When we started working on the issue, I always kind of have lots of photographer suggestions and team suggestions, and it just sort of worked out that the things that I was sort of suggesting in the photographers that I was helping to find ended up and being in the final edits of the magazine. So that's kind of what I do mostly there, and you know, just sort of advise and help shape the ideas that Katie has, basically.
You're mentioning Katie Grant, who created the magazine.
Yes.
And who before was also the editor-in-chief of Love magazine. And I read that the same creative team from before is also doing Perfect. Is that correct?
Yes. Quite a few of us who were at Love, now work at Perfect, which is quite nice. It's just nice to be able to put a different spin on things and kind of like have the freedom to kind of tell stories from a slightly different perspective, which I think is really necessary at a time like this.
Yes, on Perfect's website, it says that it wants to reflect seismic changes, striving to be different than the traditional fashion magazines. Can you describe a bit what these changes are and what makes it stand apart? Because the magazine world is already really big. Why do we need Perfect?
Yeah, of course. It's such a saturated market, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think we need magazines like Perfect just to kind of show. I mean, me personally, I want to see different narratives from different people on different backgrounds across the world. And I don't necessarily know if we get to see that in the magazines that are currently sort of at the forefront due to kind of, I don't know, there's limitations and, you know, advertisers and all of those kind of restrictions that stops us from being able to kind of find things few and far between. We're really trying to sort of champion that and sort of sing lesser known talents as well as, you know, having the sort of the greats as well, and mixing people together as well. I think just having mixing teams around and showing slightly different perspectives feels like the right move to do in a climate and like the current climate that we have. And you know, everyone's sort of gone through COVID and all of these like massive changes that have affected everybody. It's quite nice to sort of regroup and try and reapproach this in a different way.
Yeah, I really like the diversity aspect of it. I saw you had contributions from Taiwan, from Ghana, from South Korea, from really all over the world. Is this hard to organize on a practical level?
The practicalities are quite hard, but I also think it's nice to kind of, you know, fashion isn't just in sort of 3 major cities. It's all over the world. It's people interact with clothes and with images in so many different ways. And I think it's really nice to be able to reflect that. So it takes a little bit of time trying to find people that sort of fit into what it is we're doing at the time. But it's also like a great joy to do and to just kind of, it gives people, it's a lot of trust to kind of just say to someone, hey, I like your work, and just give them a date and see how they get on with things. That's been really, I think it's just been really refreshing and exciting. And the issue one, it was really exciting to sort of like, you know, have all these sort of mini conversations with people and then just watch these images flood back to us that were incredible, that we were all so excited about. That was a real lovely feeling. And I guess, you know, me personally, I really just want to try and continue that as much as possible.
Mm. So would you say there's more freedom for the photographers than maybe other magazines would give them?
I think we're trying to do that. I mean, I don't know. We're trying to sort of like match people to stories and have conversations that make sense. So then it's people producing things that they want to produce rather than feeling that things that they feel like they have to. Does that make sense? Because sometimes when you're given a task well, not a task, but when you're sort of given a brief, it might not be to your liking, and sometimes you end up sort of diluting it, and then by the time it gets down to you, it's not as exciting. It might, you know, I think it's just really exciting to sort of give people scope.
How much do you communicate with them before they shoot? Do you just give them kind of a blank canvas, or do you work on a theme together, or even discuss details?
We try and work on a theme together with everybody, and then kind of very much sort of go back and forth and see what aspects of their work we particularly like and inspire us, and just sort of keep a dialogue open. I think that's really how important it is. Like, I think that's just really important. And also, I think, do you know, we've not had to give people that much guidance. It's just been really sort of being inspired by people's work and go, I like what you do here, and I particularly love this picture or this element of your work, and would you mind creating something for us, and sort of leaving people to it. And yeah, so far it's been really good. We've had such a lovely response. And it's been, yeah, very joyous to work on, that's for sure.
And because you're involved, you mentioned earlier, in finding these photographers, how do you go about that? Do you look on social media? Do you go through loads of magazines? How do you find the new talents?
It's a lot of, I mean, I'm not going to give my secrets away because then everyone will be doing it. I try and search far and wide and like, you know, just keep my ear to the ground, asking lots of young people, going to colleges, just trying to contact so many people. And also just asking people to submit, you know, things they're interested in as well. Like, we don't normally take submissions, but I like to kind of see people's works and like how their thought process is, and if something sort of jumps out, then I normally bring that to the table to the rest of the team and see what they think, basically.
So are you open to receiving submissions then in general, or do you look at them?
I mean, I look at them, but what I normally do is when I like someone's work, is I look at their idea, and some, like, when ideas match up with what people are thinking, it's amazing. But those things are few and far between. Knowing that, as being a jobbing stylist and having to pitch for magazines, sometimes you're just not in the right moment with somebody. But if someone likes your work, I normally go, I really like your work. So what I will do is maybe, do you want to do something in this lane, or maybe we could work together on a pitch, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I'm always just quite keen to see people's work and what they've been up to. I think that's always a good start.
And what kind of fashion photography do you find most exciting in general? Is it possible to put it in words?
I don't know if I can put it in words, because I studied art history, so I am I'm a huge lover and consume images all the time. It's how I speak, basically. But I love everything from, you know, Renaissance paintings to contemporary art like Tracy Emin to old, you know, Japanese photos that I've found on Tumblr, to just my scope is very, very wide. I love documentary photography as well. Like, I also love those like big, amazing, you know, larger than life fashion images that I grew up as a kid looking at and desperately wanting to be in fashion. You know, love an Avedon. Like, I'm a big fan of so many types of photography that I could never put it into just one favorite. But to me, you know, photography is it's art. It's a form of art. So it's whatever speaks to you, isn't it?
So when you choose a potential photographer for a magazine, is it also a very personal decision that it has to speak to you? Or how do you compare? How do you decide?
Sometimes, yeah, it's a mix like that. I'm quite emotional, so yeah, I'm a Cancerian, so I'm a bit emotional. So sometimes it just needs to speak to me in a way, or it needs to say something that I think is really interesting, or just or sort of just probe me to think in a way that I have not thought before. I'm into work that's like that.
Something surprising.
Yeah.
You already mentioned that you need a balance between famous names and emerging talent. Is there somebody you're especially proud of to have convinced participating in the first issue for Perfect?
I was really proud and really excited to work with Solvay. That always been like a, sometimes when you there's certain things that I've wanted to do that I've not ever sort of voiced to anybody, and that was one of them. So it was a joy to be on set with him, and I found it so amazing. His work process was so inclusive of everybody, and I love that. Like, I just loved the fact that, like, we all felt part of the process. That was really special to me. Yeah, I think kind of being on set and everybody, you know, including, like, the assistants, all feeling like you're making an image together is a really powerful experience, and one that I think we see sort of less and less. But yeah, I loved that. I just love looking at those images and being really sort of excited about them. Issue zero, I was really excited about working with Amber, who I shot an amazing sort of portfolio story with. I loved also working with Zongling, just because I just think the artwork that she creates is incredible. And I'm always just so, yeah, I just think the language in which she speaks via pictures is really, really, it's just super impressive.
So you do go on set for some of the shoots. And then what is your role there? What do you do there as a creative director?
I'm a stylist. So if I'm on set, I'm usually styling it. I don't normally go to like other people's sets because that's a bit intrusive.
So you switch roles a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So sometimes it's playing with clothes, and then sometimes it's just looking at images or suggesting or trying to sort of shape whatever theme we've kind of come up with. Yeah, so it's a multifaceted role, but one I'm definitely enjoying.
And was it hard to convince stars like Kate Moss to participate?
Not really. I think everyone was just really excited to be part of it. I know I didn't go on Raphael's set with Katie, but I remember that shoot very well, and it being just like a stream of lots of amazing people coming in, having a really nice time, and like having their, you know, putting something on, and then having their photo taken, and it all being really fabulous, like some sort of glamorous party.
What I find interesting also is that the magazine was founded at a point where, you know, for years everybody had been saying print is dead. Then the pandemic came and there was all this discussion about fashion is dead. And right in this moment, you decided to take the risk to launch a new magazine. How do you feel about that?
I think it was just it actually now feels like a really smart time. But at the time we just were like, oh, Katie had sort of approached me and was like, I'm doing this thing, and we come in and have a little chat with me about it. And we were having lots of chats about loads of different things that were going on in fashion and, you know, around at the time. It makes perfect sense, because I feel like at the time I was having loads of different discussions with different people about how fashion was going and how unhappy I was with like how things were going, like the lack of representation and, you know, kind of just this sort of the gatekeeping that sometimes goes on in fashion, which I think starts in a really honest place, but then ends up excluding so many people. And then we end up telling the same stories over and over again, which isn't useful to anybody. I think now we're sort of opening things up again, and you're seeing slightly more different people in different places. You're hearing different voices. You're seeing images created from different people about their backgrounds or about what moves them. And I think that feels a lot more honest and a lot more sort of just a little bit more rounded, you know?
I also had the impression that in Perfect Magazine, you see more body shapes than you would usually.
Yes.
I assume that's on purpose also as a statement.
I think it's about, I mean, as somebody who is, I'm plus size. So I've spent a lot of time in fashion kind of weirdly dressing people and being around clothes that don't really sort of speak to me. And I guess it's not recently, but recently it's come to the forefront that that is a problem and that we should all sort of try and tackle that. And I'm really excited that we're seeing different shapes and kind of just showing people that there are different types of beauty. And beauty is not just synonymous with sort of, you know, white Eurocentric features. It's all over the place.
Because, I mean, there is also a lot to criticize in the fashion world. What attracted you personally to it? Because you're very passionate about it. You have been working in it for many years. What is it that drew you to it?
I loved art history, and I really always wanted to tell stories, and I didn't know how I could do that. I didn't think I had enough in me to be a designer. I didn't know if I could tell stories through clothes in that way. And then I went to do an internship at Tatler magazine years ago with Isabella Blow. And I was so fascinated by the way that she related her reference images. They were always kind of like old artist paintings. And I found that really fascinating. And I was like, oh, that's a way that you can kind of take one thing that you like and sort of apply it to something else. Yeah, I like telling stories, and I just think that this is a really good medium to be able to do that. Yeah. And I think being now we're finally in a time where we're able to tell different types of stories instead of the one that we've seen over and over again, which is really exciting and refreshing.
Is there one in these first two issues of the magazine that you're particularly proud of in this context? One that tells a different story that hasn't been told before?
I love all the things I did in the first and second issue. I think, zero and one, sorry. I love in issue one, I really think the story with Michaela is really important. Just to see bodies being manipulated in different ways. And it's like they're such arresting images, but they're so graceful and there's so much beauty and so much honor behind them. And I think I really felt that.
Can you describe it a little bit? Because the listeners can't see the images right now.
Oh, okay. So the images are of they're Michaela Stark, who's a young designer. She's from Australia and she is based in London. And Katie and I had seen her work a while ago and we were like, oh, it'd be really nice to try and sort of do some sort of feature and focus on her and you know, speak to her about her work and her art form. And it was really nice to speak to somebody who had sort of been in this industry but was frustrated with the way women were represented. So we did a shoot with her and two models, and it's basically her pieces, but her pieces and her sort of art form is about kind of almost contorting the body, and that's really exciting to see on someone who's plus size, which is what we did. So yeah, it's like corset, lots of corsetry done up really tight, and like sort of photographs of parts of the body. It's very beautiful but also challenging at the same time. And it was really amazing to sort of work on a project like that. Mm-hmm. To have like lots of discussions and then kind of be there on the shoot day and everything to be just like, it was a long day, but like a really gratifying day.
Do you feel that the magazine and fashion world on the whole is going more and more in this direction and trying to be more diverse, or is it still more of a niche thing?
We have a lot of work to do. I think we're seeing diversity in the front of magazines and like front facing, but we need to see them behind the scenes. So, you know, you need more creative directors, you need more sort of CEOs, you need people in boardrooms at the luxury houses. I think it's really important to have people of colour and people who are different sizes and come from different backgrounds in those rooms to create different conversations. You know, I think it's really important that we need to start extending sizes to luxury brands, because I think it's a little bit weird to think that people who are bigger don't like nice clothes. That's a very odd, it's an odd concept to me. It doesn't make any sense. It's like suddenly like, oh no, you wouldn't like anything from Gucci. It's not going to fit you if you're past a size 16. That seems weird. I think we have to change those kind of conversations and show different things.
Do you feel these brands are open to this?
I think so, but I also think it's never crossed anyone's mind because there's nobody in the room to sort of represent that. So if there's nobody there sort of going, hey, isn't it weird that we only do this? Or, you know, are people doing enough research to see if other people would want things? Or do you think we should make things in bigger sizes or with like different ranges or just be a bit more inclusive? I don't know if there are people asking those questions there. And if they're not, I don't know if there's enough. I just think some more conversations need to be had. But in order for that to be had, there needs to be people who come from different aspects and walks of life in those rooms.
You've already kind of described yourself as maybe not the typical person that works in the fashion industry then. Did you feel it was difficult for you, or how did you make your way? The Guardian even called you a buzz name now, so...
I know. How odd is that? It feels odd. I do you know what? When I entered fashion, I didn't really. I think I sort of disassociated with how I looked and what I felt about myself and what I knew about this industry. So I'm a bit of a brain. So people used to hire me because I've got a big old brain. I've got lots of ideas, and I tend to like retain a lot of silly information that becomes quite useful at the right moment. And because I was always seen in that way, it never occurred to me that I needed to sort of look a certain way to fit in. But it was as I was kind of going on in my career and I was finding that I could only get to a certain level that I was like, oh, I think it's because I don't look like these people, and I'm a bit different, which isn't a bad thing. It's just a different thing. So I'm hoping that, you know, by me being a bit more visible and talking a bit more and, you know, showing my face a bit more, that people will see that there are lots of different people who work in this industry, and we can all look different, and it's absolutely fine. You don't have to look like a model. Yeah. And if you do, that's also fine. It should it's trying to shift that kind of narrative and just, I don't know, and not be so visual in a weird way.
It's probably also a bit of a responsibility of the photographers, no?
Yeah, I think it's a mix. I think it's like if we all do our part. So like if magazines are a bit more conscious, if designers are a bit more conscious, if photographers are like, maybe I don't want to shoot the same person over and over again, or the same type of person over and over again. If we all make a concerted effort, this industry will change and flourish, and we'll see different aspects, and it will be beneficial for everybody. But I think everybody just gets really stuck in their own ways, and you know, we all sort of get a bit sheepish and we just follow what's cool or what everyone else is doing, and we don't challenge each other. And I think some more of that needs to happen. So I'm hoping that's what we're doing at Perfect, and just trying to change the conversation a little bit.
What I also find interesting, Perfect is not just a magazine, also a creative agency at the same time. Can you talk a little bit about this? What exactly does this mean? Have you done many other projects since the launch of the magazine then? And what kind of projects are
these? We've been trying to work with brands on different projects and kind of trying to tell things in a way that Perfect would do. So a brand would come up to us and say, oh, we'd like you to create some images or a video or some sort of project in this way, but in your eyes. And that's when we kind of, you know, we get our eyes over it. So it'll be a photographer that we choose and a stylist that we work with, and just trying to kind of give it the perfect spin, if that makes sense. Spin's not the best word. I'm trying to think what the best word would be, but it's almost just kind of putting a gloss over something, but in our way. So, you know, making sure that the casting is diverse and that, and it's interesting people who've got interesting stories and backgrounds, and, you know, it's sort of just making things a little bit more 3D and less one dimensional.
Because it's an independent magazine, then is there a bit of a danger in this setup that you have an independent magazine, but then you have this work with brands?
I don't think so. I think it sort of, because it's always brands that we want to work with rather than like, oh, you got to take their money. Do you know what I mean? It's seeing something interesting in the brand and being like, oh, maybe it's like I like the heritage, or they've got a really important message, or I quite like, you know, what this person is saying about this thing. There needs to be a connection in order for us to find it interesting. Otherwise, you know, the collaboration doesn't really make any sense.
It also said on the magazine website that 80% of luxury sales are digitally influenced. How is Perfect dealing with that then as a print magazine?
It's having the same sort of ethos across all platforms, both digitally and print. So print is a little bit more of a love letter. So, you know, because it takes a bit more time, but print still has the same ethos, still has the same passions and the same belief. And I think you can see that in our Instagram and on the website, and how we try and, you know, take things in a bit more of an intimate manner. Like when we have conversations with designers, or, you know, if we're doing some sort of specials, or if we're doing, you know, some like an online editorial, it comes from an emotive place. It's not just here's some people in some clothes, you know?
And how do you see the overall influence of social media on the sector?
I think it depends on how you interact with social media. I personally interact with social media in kind of like, I follow people that I like, and there are a whole vast range of different people, from, you know, some celebrities to activists to influencers to, you know, to news sites to like nature sort of photo documentary websites. It's a vast amount of things. And I think if you approach things in that way of looking at not just one thing, or not one just one type of things or one group of people, you have a broader outlook on life in general.
Yeah, it all depends on how you use it for yourself.
You know, the algorithm, yes, it can trick you and it can do all those things, but I'm a big believer in curating whatever space you have. And that's what I tend to do. So if things feel like they're going to be really negative, or they feel like they don't feel very progressive, or, you know, something that upsets me, I just unfollow people that are not the right vibe. And I encourage everyone to do the same. That is what the mute button is for.
Good advice. The social media channels of Perfect, what role do they play for the magazine or the agency? How? Because I checked with your Instagram, and it's very curated, it's very professional. There are loads of different things going on, not just photos, also videos, little podcasts, music.
It's basically kind of like whatever entertains us and what we find interesting, and we try and sort of engage with people that we, you know, like, well, we really like new designers, new artists, so we'll sometimes do a little call out to try and engage with people that we've not found across, you know, across different countries that we can't get to. So it'd be like, oh, what's going on in Russia? And we'll do a little call out on our stories being like, we'd like to speak to any new designers in Russia so we can kind of see their work and hear what stories they've got and that kind of thing. I think that's what we use our social media for, to connect with other people and almost build like an online community, which I think is really interesting and attractive to, you know, I guess from a commerce point of view, to brands and other people who want to work with us.
What has the feedback been like? Or do you feel like you have achieved what you wanted since the launch of the magazine?
I think so. I think what I've been finding as I've been speaking to lots of people is how everyone's like, it's really inclusive. And I love how you like, you really focus on imagery, and we're taking like chances that other people aren't able to take, I guess, because we're independent. So it's it's been really good and positive and, you know, exciting. Like issue one, we did I think 422 different covers, which is kind of insane. So it's like, so every image that runs in the magazine is essentially a cover, which is essentially giving freedom and agency to lots of people and saying, you know, there's more than one way to be perfect, and everybody can, you know, get to shine and have the focus on them. I think that's a really encouraging and quite a lovely message to be putting out.
It's quite democratic. Are you already working now on the next issue?
We are.
What's in store?
I can't tell you that. There's 8,000 messages, and that's why my phone was going off before you were speaking so much. Because we've got a lot on our plates, but in the best possible way. It's like, this is the exciting bit, where we have all these ideas and then it's putting them all into practice and seeing if we can pull them all off in record time, because this season is, as always, is always hideously short.
We're definitely looking forward to seeing issue number 3. Thanks so much for speaking to me. This was super interesting. And yeah, good luck with all your hundreds of messages that have come on your phone in the last 30 minutes.
I know, I'm a bit scared to look at my phone now. But no, thank you for having me.